Okay, thank you, Mr. Cotta. If there's no other questions for Mr. Cotta, we'll...
No, if I've got more, I'll ask him during the...
Okay.
During that part.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks. Okay. Does anybody need to take a break? Brandy, are you doing okay on the other end there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
And we'll take five after the manager's report. How's that sound?
Sure, that sounds like a plan.
Cool.
Okay, we're on to the mayor's report, which is pretty short today. Southeast Alaska Power Agency Board of Directors, the Petersburg Borough is seeking letters of interest from the qualified borough residents to serve our community by taking a seat on the SEPA Board of Directors. The Assembly will need to appoint one voting member and one alternate to the SEPA board for calendar year 2019. Generally, we do that in early December, so we could accept letters till the first meeting of December.
Correct.
Not sure of the date, 5th, 6th, whatever it is.
The 3rd.
And you could mail your letters of interest, maybe submitted to borough clerk via mail to Post Office Box 329, Petersburg, Alaska, 99833, or via email to dthompson@petersburgak.gov, or by delivering to the clerk's office at 12 South Nordic Drive. There's a flu emergency preparedness exercise called POD Friday, November 9th from 2:30 to 5:30 at the community gym. Volunteers are needed to help with the event. For more information or to sign up as a volunteer, please call the Public Health Center at 772-4611. The representative from the Chamber of Commerce mentioned there's a meeting here tomorrow evening from 5:30 to 7 o'clock, kind of an open house discussion on the tourism industry in Petersburg. And that concludes the mayor's report. You want to take a break now? Okay. Manager, would you please give your report?
Yes, sir. The new Hoyer lift arrived at the manor last week. This is a mechanical device designed to lift patients safely. Staff up there is very happy and thankful for getting it. Harbor staff continues to work with the Corps of Engineers on the South Harbor dredging feasibility study. Public is invited to provide comments on the draft study that can be found on the borough's website or hard copies at both borough finance office and the harbor office until November 5th, 2018. So hurry. Thank you to Public Works, who built a snow gate in-house and installed it at the corner of the Middle Harbor parking lot to help snow removal efforts in the winter. Also thanks to the crew for knocking down the brush and cleaning the outside perimeters of both ends of the South Harbor and Middle Harbor parking lots. It's a huge help to keep the runoff from backing up in these areas. Annually, the harbor works with several local companies to share the cost of a licensed crane inspector to come through town and look at the cranes, including both of the harbor cranes. The inspector's report includes regular maintenance items that require professional attention. We have actually scheduled this large crane to be serviced mid-November through early January to reduce the impact on the fleet's needs. The small crane will be operating during the same time. Harbor moorage is up, but transient traffic this year was lower than in other years. Just as a heads up. Big attaboy to our harbor night security officer, Carl McDonald, for noticing a strong smell coming from one of the water pedestals in the South Harbor during rounds at 5:30 a.m. Soon after, the pedestal had flames coming out of it, called the PD and got power and light to shut down the heat trace, and Carl stood by on the fire watch, making sure it was just an isolated incident. Thanks to Kevin Hess for his quick response, shutting down the power to the system. The herring are in. The Defiant has been making weekly deliveries, and a few of the local holiday herring picklers have been seen grabbing a bucket or two for the season's annual delicacy. Special thanks to Justin Peeler and his crew for bringing in the fish and allowing community members to gather and continue much-loved community tradition. See everybody on December 12th at the annual pickled herring contest. Water Department staff is performing biannual cleaning and maintenance of the sedimentation basins and other treatment equipment at the plant, while also working to complete the winterizing of the Cabin Creek raw water line. Yeah, I'll say that a few times. Water Department is installing a small 7.5 kW standby propane generator at the water storage tank to supply power to the site during outages. The genset and propane tank is installed and requires final wiring before it is ready for service. Wastewater staff has set up a temporary pump station at the Baylor while they are reworking the permanent pump station. They anticipate that the work will be complete in the next couple of months. The composting of sludge from the treatment plant has been going well. Staff routinely meets the EPA time and temperature requirements for pathogen destruction. The department invites any resident to drop off tree limbs on 14th Street near the treatment plant for free so we can use the chips in the process. Staff is working on construction of a small shed to protect and store the wood chips for the composting process. We continue to experience problems in our pump stations because of flushable wipes. The public is encouraged to please place any wipes in the trash instead of flushing these materials. They accumulate in pump stations and cause blockage issues in the pumps. The only way to remove the blockage is by manually removing the pumps and pulling them out by gloved hand. Public is encouraged to only flush toilet paper down the sewers. Blind Slough Hydro Evaluation Project is ongoing. We did receive the initial draft of the conditions assessment and have provided comments back to the consultant. We expect to receive the final draft of the report in early November, at which time we will present it to myself and the assembly. So,
Carl, is that next meeting? I can't remember what they said on the McMillan. I think we're getting really close to having that in front of the assembly. The FERC Part 12 dam inspection and safety evaluation, which is required every 5 years, as well as the dam safety and surveillance monitoring plan, are almost complete. D&D Tree Service was hired to replace screws on the roof of the Power and Light headquarters building. It was found that many of the screws had backed out over time, so we were replacing them with larger screws and tightening things up. After this work, the roof should last for many more years. The roof was not included in the recent building remodel due to its generally good condition. The line crew was able to take advantage of Wrangell's 85-foot bucket truck in September to address several problem trees around town. Power and Light thanks all of the property owners that worked with us on the removal of these trees for the sake of a more reliable distribution system for the community. Big thanks to the City and Borough of Wrangell for use of the truck. Line crew also helped repair some parking playground lighting for the school district, and a really big thank you for all of that work prior to the Halloween holiday. Annual pole top rescue training and other topics will be part of the departmental safety meeting scheduled for November 9th. Wrangell Light and Power linemen are coming over for the training as well. Recent rains have resulted in a lot of calls for service due to clogged culverts and storm drains. Please let us know if that's happening, and we'll do what we can. Drainage improvements were made to the municipal building parking lot to reduce the amount of water ponding on the surface. A section of the poorly graded asphalt was removed and replaced with concrete, and a new concrete valley gutter installed. So looks like that's going to work real well. It turned into an ice skating rink prior, so we're looking forward to not having that to deal with. Congratulations to Officer Wolf, who completed his field training process, and Blake Morrison, who has started with the police department as a dispatch corrections officer. Officer Tate completed Krav Maga law enforcement instructor certification at the Kodiak Police Department and is looking forward to instructing the department on these new techniques. Officer Wachter is working with the Petersburg Medical Center and EMS on the active shooter exercise at the Petersburg Medical Center. First annual Petersburg Haunted House was held at the Petersburg Police Department. It was from October 31st from 4 to 6 and then 7 to 10 on November 1st. Police Department handed out glow necklaces and candy on Halloween and encouraged the community to stop by, and it looked like everybody had a pretty good time.
Great time.
I'm continuing to work with the department heads, the school, and the hospital on finalizing the capital project list to be reviewed and approved by the assembly, hoping the list will be available for the assembly for the first meeting in December.
Any questions for the manager on this report? Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Maybe for the manager or the police chief, what is Krav Maga law enforcement instruction?
I believe it's pronounced, it's Krav Maga, and it's defensive tactics. So we never had a defensive tactics instructor, and since I was here, I believe the only defensive tactics these guys received was at the police academy and then whatever they did on their own. So by sending one of the officers to the instructor course, he'll be able to teach everyone at the police department on a continual basis and stay up to date with all the techniques.
Thank you. And the other question I had was, can somebody explain to me why there would be flames coming out of a water pedestal? That just seems kind of weird. What's the mechanism there to get flames coming out of a water pedestal?
I wondered if anybody would ask that. Yeah. The harbors are, all our water systems are pretty high-end, very expensive. So we have a heat trace system, electric heat trace system that goes to all the pedestals and keeps them warm in the winter months, especially when they're apt to freeze and do a lot of damage. We've had issues where they fail and end up having blowing off the top of a water pedestal. And I've been called when I've been in Hawaii that we've had a geyser going, you know, 40 feet up in the air because it's 100 pounds of pressure that are servicing those. So, yeah. So that's where the electrical came in.
Any other questions of the manager? I have one, Steve. Sure. Have we had a chance to look at the condition of the municipal building sewer connection? Or is it?
I'm not sure if we run the camera yet, Carl. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, the municipal building sewer issue is still ongoing. We've got on a regular schedule to clean, to get ahead of the problem so that we don't have any backups. We haven't had a chance to run the camera yet. It's actually in a different spot, a different configuration underground than we thought. It's not as easy to get to inspect. So that's proving a little difficult, but we are staying ahead of the problem now with some maintenance. So.
Okay, just kind of curious. I saw someone on the sidewalk the other day. It looked like they might have been cleaning a line or something. So
we're trying to do regular maintenance to avoid it to be unexpected. Yeah.
Sounds good. Okay, well, let's take a five-minute break, and we'll reconvene at 1:30-ish.
Perfect.
On the agenda is item 14, unfinished business. First item there is item A, the only item under unfinished business, is ordinance 2018-18. An ordinance amending the Petersburg Municipal Code by repealing titles 18, subdivision, and 19, zoning, and adopting the new borough development code. I'd entertain a motion to approve this ordinance in its second reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Stanton Greger. This is the ordinance that we had the public hearing on earlier today. So is there any discussion? Yeah, Member Stanton Greger.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I'm often reminded, just because I've been following this issue closely doesn't mean everyone else has. So a question of Liz, if I may, Mr. Mayor.
Sure.
Liz, if you could just briefly walk us through why we want to adopt this new borough development code. What's the why behind it?
Why? If I may?
Or the goal, yes. However you want to go with that.
Sure. So when we started this process, it really is based back in the comprehensive plan that got adopted in 2016. And through that public process, we had people identify different issues. Those issues are coalesced into action items and ideas. And some of the recommendations were to address the shortcomings in our code. And so building off of that, we had goals to improve and streamline our approval processes. The way our current code is written, there's a lot of extra meetings in the process that really don't need to be there. And so as we change the code, we're eliminating some of those extra meetings and trying to have a faster, smoother process for the public to go through. There's also a lot of inconsistencies in our code. You read different sections and they actually conflict. And so it's very difficult for us to apply and enforce those things when you have conflicting portions of your code. A lot of the zoning districts are outdated and off the mark on the boundaries. We have pretty weak standards in certain areas, especially areas that we really should value for our economy, like downtown, and our historic or really high-use visitor areas like the Hammer Slough. We don't really have very good standards in place to protect the value of those areas. We have a lot of places where we have incompatible uses against each other. We have industrial and residential, and that creates these conflicts that we really have no way of resolving. through our existing code. So in general, it's, you know, taking a code that's been in place since the mid-80s and trying to bring it up to current standards and include in some things that people identified through the comp plan process and approved processes.
Thank you. And just follow up on that is something I've heard through the community on this is those people who have read it all the way through, it's exhaustive. And I think because the goal is to kind of streamline some of these things. A piece of feedback I've gotten, though, is what about a law of unintended consequences? Let's say some part of this ends up not working for our community. And what I think I need to remind myself of, and I think is important for the public also, is that that could happen. And if so, we can change it. This is really, in essence, a living document where if we find one piece of this doesn't fit for our community, three readings and with a public hearing, and it can be fixed. In short, there's nothing final about this in case we realize a piece of it doesn't work. I'm speaking correctly, aren't I, Liz?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll definitely be voting for this today, and I look forward to going over amendments at the appropriate time.
Any other discussion on this ordinance? Liz, can you refresh us on the schedule? I looked for it and I couldn't find it. I had a sheet just so people listening know what the remainder of the process is going to be.
Right. So you have one more public hearing scheduled. Well, it's public comment. Public hearing on November 19th. And that's the one where I won't be here, but you'll be here. And then on December 3rd, we can always accept public comments, but there's no formal public hearing. And then December 17th would be the consideration of amendments and third reading.
Okay, so just I wanted that to be clarified for people listening that there is still three more options to be publicly involved in this document. Liz, are those comments today from Farragut Farms and Ms. Copes, I believe we've got the name right, are they going to be listed under proposed changes?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so. Just I didn't know if they had to email them to make it official or not. So, Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, we might have already talked about this, but when it gets time to vote on these amendments, will we have any input from planning and zoning or city staff about whether it's a good idea or a bad idea?
I included in your packet a list of what we have to date, and you'll notice on the front page it has a staff recommendation column. Mm-hmm. And in some cases it does have a staff recommendation listed there, and where there isn't one listed, it's because it's more of a policy call and we don't necessarily have a recommendation on it. As far as the Planning Commission, I think they can look at the amendments. I don't know if we'll have an opportunity to do here are their specific as a collective commission. Some of the things that you're looking at, they've already considered, and I've noted where those overlap, you know.
Great. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, was that unanimous or was Brandy's vote?
Yes.
Okay, that brings us to new business. First item under new business is Ordinance 2018-19, an ordinance amending Petersburg Municipal Code Section 4.28.020 sales tax definitions to clarify that marine passenger ship cruise ticket contracts that are subject to Petersburg Borough's marine passenger fee are not subject to Petersburg Borough's sales tax. I entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its first reading.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion has been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Stanton Greger. Discussion. Member Waldwater.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Tomorrow we're going to have a community discussion on the future of our cruise ship, what we're going to accept in this community. I would like to table this until we can have a chance to discuss this in the public before we make a decision on this. So that's my 2 cents worth.
And that requires a second.
I'll second.
Okay, according to our new summary sheet that I'm looking here that the clerk gave us, it's a motion to lay on the table. It requires a second, but it's not debatable. It's not amendable. So that just brings us to a vote.
No discussion, just a vote?
That's what this says.
Okay.
Okay.
So, and this is not tabled to a time certain, so we'll just bring it up later.
Should we assign a time to bring this up, though? Kurt, would you like to put a time on it?
Well, I'd like the public to weigh in on this tomorrow night, you know, throw it out there, and then we could put it on the agenda for next week, or our next meeting, excuse me.
Clerk Thompson, does that work for you?
Sure.
Or in terms of
lay it on the table to a time certain?
That's what I would prefer, yes, to a time certain rather than just tabling it.
Right.
Yes.
So no. Do you want to change your motion, Member Waller, to lay it on the table to a time certain, November 19th?
Yes, what he said.
That's our next meeting, I guess.
Yes.
So that's why I'm just bringing
it. Yeah, exactly. Couldn't have said it better.
So that's what we'll be voting on then, without knowing all 100% of the proper rules. Clerk, call the roll.
Okay. Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
No.
Jeff?
No.
So, what was the count? Was it a 4-2?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so it passed with the 4-2 vote to table it until time certain, November 19th. Okay. Now that brings us to appointments. We should do these separately. Assembly appointments for representatives to different things. But first of all, we'll appoint a vice mayor, which is we have to do that by code, by charter, or code, whatever it is, at this meeting, first meeting in November. And without any objection from the assembly, I would like to appoint Member Stanton Greger to vice mayor again. And if someone wants to make a motion to appoint someone else, that's their, they can. But with no objection, I'd like to appoint Member Stanton Greger to vice mayor. I don't see any hands coming up, so I guess that's Member Stanton Greger will be the vice mayor for the next year. And then we have some changes we need to make with these appointments, assembly appointments. I'd like to entertain a motion. If we need a motion, do we have to vote on every one of these specifically? If there's only if there's objection,
correct.
Is that what the attorney told us last year? I'd like to appoint myself to the Southeast Conference representative and the Alaska Municipal League representative, liaison to the Harbor Board, Kurt Wallhuter, to stay there. We need to get input or a willing assembly member to be the liaison to the Public Safety Advisory Board, since Member Strand isn't on the assembly anymore. And Member Mucci is the elected official to the Local Emergency Planning Committee currently. And of course, Member Stanton Greger expressed his will to not be the liaison to the hospital board anymore, conflicting with his work schedule, not because he didn't enjoy it.
Correct.
He didn't like it. So, but I repeat what you said correctly?
Very accurately. Thank you.
Okay, so that's what I would like to propose, unless there's some amendments. Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I, too, would like to be considered as the Southeast Conference representative.
Okay, make a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Stanton Greger, to have Member Mucci be the representative of the Southeast Conference. Any discussion? Kurt, call the roll.
Brandy?
No.
Mark?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Kurt?
No.
Okay, that motion fails with a 3-3 vote. So,
3-3?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I apologize.
Yeah,
so it was a 3-3 vote, correct?
Okay, yes.
So, without any objection, I'd like to appoint myself to the Southeast Conference representative position and Alaska Municipal League representative. And Kurt Wallhuter to the liaison of the Harbor Board, and then we need Jeff Mucci to the elected official to Local Emergency Planning Committee. Is there any interest in the other two positions? Member Lynn, would you be interested in any of those?
I was on the hospital board before, and I would consider it again for...
Okay, so if we could put Member Lynn's name on the liaison to the hospital board, is there anybody interested in being a liaison to the Public Safety Advisory Board? Are you willing to do that, Brandy?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So without any objection to those appointments,
Mr. Mayor.
Member Mucci.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Could I just get a voice vote of our Southeast Conference representative? If that's the motion, somebody is going to make the motion for our representative.
Uh-oh.
So somebody should.
Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
We did a voice vote, right?
Just for me.
Right. And so a voice vote for me? Okay. Yep. Voice vote for these appointments that I've proposed. Or we want to do one. Let's do the Southeast Conference one, and then we'll do the remainders.
Yes.
Okay. Does that make sense, Clerk Thompson? Okay.
Call the roll?
Yes, call the roll, please.
Okay. Kurt?
Yes.
Jeff?
No.
Bob?
And we're voting on me being the representative to Southeast Conference is what we're doing this time.
Yes.
Jay?
Nope.
Mark?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yeah.
That's 4-2.
Okay, now we will, if there's no objections, we will, I'd like to appoint myself to the Alaska Municipal League representative position, Kurt Wallhuter to the liaison to the Harbor Board, Bob Lynn to the liaison to the Hospital Board, Member Moreau to the liaison to the Public Safety Advisory Board, and Member Mucci to the elected officials to the Local Emergency Planning Committee. Is there any objections to those appointments? Seeing none, that is how we will proceed. Okay, what? And then we need to, I guess that's it for that discussion. That brings us to item C under new business, solid waste baler replacement. Public Works Director Cotter requests assembly approval to proceed with a development of a full replacement of the solid waste baler, a copy of Director Cotta's memorandum outlining the baler's failing systems and providing maintenance slash replacement options can be found under agenda item 11A. That's what we discussed earlier. I'd entertain a motion to authorize Public Works Director Cotta to proceed with the development plan.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Wallhuter, seconded by Member Stanton Greger. Any other discussion?
Go ahead.
All right.
Stanton Greger.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I'll definitely be voting yes at this point. I mean, you, Mr. Mayor, I think raised some pretty important concerns in terms of potential cost down the line. But as we discussed earlier, we can't know until we get into this. And since there's no funds expended on the project without future assembly approval, I'll definitely be voting yes to get Chris working on this process. That is all.
Okay, any other discussion on this topic?
I have a question. Member for Senator Member Mucci. You brought up a concern about looking at a broader perspective here of looking at other, what we might do with our solid waste. Would it be, and I'm throwing this out, would it be operable at this point to amend that motion, and I'm leaving that to you, that we'd also look at developing a more solid waste plan of what we might want to do for the future?
Mr. Mayor. Yep. Thanks, Bob. Later on in the agenda, I have on there possibility of a work session to kind of go over our solid waste issues and our recycling issues and composting issues. If we could do that sometime in November, December, you know, we could probably dovetail that in with what Chris has got working or part of his plan, so that when we do get ready to pull the trigger on whatever we're going to do up at the Baylor facility, we'll have the opportunity to at least have some more information. The assembly will have more information as well as public input from the community about what they'd like to see, different ideas. So that I think we can do both of them at the same time, and I don't think this motion is going to prevent us from going.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
It could be something. It could be just a document to work on as we move forward, yeah, and make adjustments to it. So, clerk, call the roll.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Okay, that passes with a 6-0 vote. Alaska Municipal League Public Lands Committee. This is something new that Nils Andreasen sent us an email. It sounds like, if I read it right, if I understood it right, they want to get a committee together or a kind of a representation from people from different communities to be on a board that discusses land issues around the state. By understanding that right, Debbie?
Yes.
Okay, so he's asking for an appointment, right, for this? Yeah. Member Lynn.
I've been a member of the policy committee for AML, and that requires quite a few telephone calls along the line during the year just to look at different policies, or particularly when the legislature's in session, where AML wants to go, and then that goes to the board. If it would be advantageous for us, I could also assume this role as part of that policy committee.
Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So does it have, I don't know, I'm asking city staff, does it have to be an elected official, or can it be a member of the borough staff? I don't know.
I don't see in here where it specifies.
Right.
Good point.
Through the mayor, if I may. Actually, at one time, we joined NACO, the National Association of Counties, and I put my name in as the borough manager to be on the NACO Public Lands committee, and they put me on it. I went to two meetings and quickly figured out that NACO really, really wanted elected officials at that level. So, felt a little bit out of place in the sense that I was an appointed official and everybody else in the room on that committee is elected, county commissioners throughout the United States. So at the NACO level, it's clear they want elected officials. At the AML level, I don't think that's specified, as you've said. So I mean, that's the only background I can give you, is that going to the NACO meetings in D.C., it was very, and attending some of their conference calls, they really wanted elected officials.
Does that answer your question, Member Mucci?
Yes. No.
Any other discussion? I'm all right with Member Lynn being the representative from Petersburg, the Lands Committee. I believe, are you still on the policy?
I'm still on the policy committee, yes. Okay.
Do we have to make a motion for that, Mayor, just to...
Let's make a motion.
Then I'll make a motion that we leave Bob on this committee.
Seconded by Member Stan Greger. Motion made by Member Wallhuter, seconded by Member Stan Greger to appoint Member Lynn to the Lands Committee for Alaska Municipal League. We kind of already discussed it, but all those in favor say aye.
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 So that was a unanimous aye. That brings us to Petersburg Navigation Improvements Feasibility Study In-Kind Contribution Amendment. I'd entertain a motion to approve this amendment.
So moved.
Second.
A motion been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Wallhuter to approve this Navigation Improvements Feasibility Study In-Kind Amendment. I'll ask the Harbor Master to maybe give us a little explanation on this. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's our match to the dredging, right, Glo?
Exactly. Yeah, we originally agreed to $325, $275 of that being cash contributions, of which we've given them $270,000, and they're working that off. And $50,000 in-kind contributions, just as a rough estimate to what we can do for cheaper than what the federal government can do. So we've had a couple of surveys done. We hired the RB, went out to bid, and got Erica Ann to do a couple or four surveys here in the upcoming year. And that's gone over that $50,000 amount. And so we're trying to free up a little bit more just to make it
easier. The money stays with us. We only use it if we spend it, you know, for this project. The federal government on the other side has freed up another additional monies for this. So it's, again, for every dollar they spend, we spend. They bumped up their number initially, 100,000 just to begin the project. So they've actually spent quite a bit more money than we have on this. So anyway, it's our money. It's staying here unless we have agreed to spend it.
So, and by finishing this feasibility study, this could potentially allow us to not have to meet Washington standards with our dredge spoils and...
Actually, no, that is a different argument, but we have already passed that part of the phase. We've found that the dredge spoils have are able to be put in water. So now they're looking for a location. Oh. And so right now, the Erica Ann is going on 4 surveys throughout the year, different times of the year, to really categorize what is on the bottom during 4 different times of the year, just so that they can better figure out where to put these spoils.
Okay, thank you for the explanation. Any other discussion or questions? Clerk, call the roll, please.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, the action passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda under new business is item 15F. This is the letter that we discussed earlier in the meeting. Drafted by Member Lynn. I'd entertain a motion to approve sending this letter to the people that are on the letter, the Chief Forest Service. There's a motion?
So moved.
I'll second that, just for the sake of discussion.
Motion's been made by Member Stanton Greger, seconded by Member Walther. Discussion. Member Stanton Greger.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Somewhat touching on some of the feedback that was given, written by Mr. Lee and by voice by several members of the community today. Not a whole lot of argument for me in terms of I don't think the letter does enough. I personally thought the letter that Clerk Thompson helped me construct in early 2018 was polite and direct and definitely trying to inquire. And I voted for that. Same thing with I thought the resolution was fine that we talked about a couple weeks ago. I think being clear and direct is a good thing. But the rub is neither of those things passed, and none of them were close. And if my main goal is working towards accountability for the borough's timber, and that is, you know, the borough's, that's borough's timber, we got to start somewhere. And although I think the letter may be lacking in some ways, it's a good jumping off point. And I hate to use words better than nothing, but it's a place to start from. And if we aren't satisfied with results from this, we can potentially revisit some of the other avenues. So I'll be voting for this today.
Any other discussion on the approval of this letter? Member Walhooter?
Yeah, this is directed at Member Lynn. Bob, I mean no disrespect by any means, you know. You've got a lot of insight in this, you know, what's going on here. So do you think, maybe I should ask you, like, what was your intent, you know, when you wrote this letter? Do you think this would be strong enough, you know, with the people that you have contact with? Or do you think this should be stronger with some of the words that had been mentioned earlier in some of the letters that and comments that were made earlier? Would you revise it, in other words?
That's a good question. When I read that activity review that was done, that activity review covered everything from timber theft to accountability to on-the-ground administration. And the letter, and I think all those things need to be addressed. In other words, the activity review addressed it. And so I think that we as a borough, where I was coming from, we as a borough also need to be concerned about all aspects of it, not just certain aspects, you know, like of it. And thinking about it when I wrote it, I was looking at it from the standpoint that I'd like to know for myself, you know, where really are these folks at, you know, and what actions have been taken. And rather than to accuse them, whether to say, because I don't know. And so I thought it was an excellent place to start. And as you heard earlier, I think we can go farther later. But I think we need to, you know, have a starting point and to see what kind of response we get back. I don't want to accuse. I'm not in the accusatory mode, you know, to anybody. I just like to know the facts first.
Thank you.
Any other member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, it would be nice if we were going to send a letter out that we could get some type of reply, like within 2 weeks or a month. I mean, my biggest fear with a pretty tame letter is that it's going to go to somebody's desk and it'll just sit there for a while until they think we've lost interest in looking for the next shiny object to come by. But I think we need to have it like a date that we can follow up this letter on, so that if they're not really taking it seriously, which I hope they do, that we have another, we have more recourse. Whether we follow this up with a resolution, I mean, I think the resolution has more teeth than a letter to the Forest Service. But I would like to be able to track this thing so we can see if this person has received it and read it. And if these people that are listed in the CCs down here, they've had an opportunity to read it and respond to it, so that we can know that there's being progress made, as opposed to just kind of sitting on our thumbs trying to sort it out.
Any other discussion, Member Lynn?
Yeah, I heard that comment earlier, and I somewhat agree. I think we need to, from my perspective, my thinking was is that we revisit. If we don't get a response, and I was given it longer, you won't get a response in 2 weeks. But if we didn't have a response, and I'm just picking a date, by the 1st of January I was looking, then I think we need to go farther on it. But I throw that out. You know, I know you're not going to get one, you know, in a month you probably could. But I partly agree with you. But I think we can do that without changing the content of the letter, and then agree to follow up at that point down the road.
Does anybody think it would be beneficial to invite Dave Zimmerman to our first meeting in December to ask him if there's any, if he knows if there's any movement on the letter? Should we just pick a date? If we don't get an answer, just to send another, you know, form of encouragement with him to do something?
Thank you, Mayor. I got a question. Typically, when these letters go back there, do they have, you know, any response as though they opened it up and even looked at it? I think this is maybe covering what maybe, following what Jeff's saying, is there any way that we know that they got the letter and they read it, and then they would then give us some indication that they'll do some sort of work on it at some particular time? Or do we just...
What kind of response you'll get back? It will be logged in, and it will require action back there. How quick, I can't answer that. I don't know. I want to go back to something that the mayor said. I do think we need some follow-up some point down the road if we don't get a response. But if you're going to ask for somebody to come here, I think we got to go higher, myself, in the organization, at least the Forest Supervisor. And maybe that's the next recourse. I'm not sure. At that point.
It'd be nice to get a response to our questions.
Yes, I agree.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, it would not be inappropriate for us to notify our federal lobbyist with a copy of this letter, and that's what you're paying him to do, is to follow up on this. In other words, you don't have to. He will.
That's a good point. So you can CC Brad Gilman as well. Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Inviting Earl Stewart here, just to kind of keep a dialogue open with him, at least express to him some of our personal concerns that we have about what we think is going on, and just if he can help us, just if we're not putting it to the right door, help us get to that point. And I think it would be great to have him stop by and, you know, like a short presentation.
Clerk Thompson.
Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to suggest if the Assembly would like to, we could add a paragraph into the letter requesting the Forest Service send us a note saying they have received our letter and that we will be getting a response. At least we know then someone physically has it and we'll be working on it.
That'd be great.
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Yeah, it'd be great.
And then we could also then put the CC on here to Gilman too at the same time. So
same's good.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So if we vote no on this now, then we'll just rewrite it and bring it to our again, right?
Oh, we'll just. I intend to vote yes on sending it with the changes that we made.
Okay. Make amendments and then okay. Yeah.
So is everybody in favor of those two changes we made, sending a letter or another paragraph asking for a response that they have received this. Correspondence from us, and they're going to respond to us, and then sit, add our federal lobbyists under the list of people to be mailed to. Everybody in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay.
Aye.
We change it then and send it out as changed. Okay, that brings us to PMC Health Professional Shortage Area Designation Request. Phil, would you like to just step up and explain this? Was that your intention, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly. Phil Hofstetter with Petersburg Medical Center. So I've been trying to work with the state primary care office since August to obtain something called a health professional shortage area designation. It's fairly typical in rural communities to obtain this designation, and what it allows is the opportunity to apply for funding, loan or repayment for professionals such as physicians. I was kind of surprised that Petersburg has never applied for that designation, and when I did go and apply for it, we do not meet the requirements according to the state primary care office. Part of the reasoning is we don't qualify under the auto program if we were something like a federally qualified healthcare clinic or a certified rural health clinic. Those things would automatically qualify you. If you were a tribal facility, it would also qualify you. So having the standard calculation, you know, I don't know exactly why, but one of the reasons we have we have a primary care office, our primary care clinic in our hospital, so the three physicians also do other things, and this is specific to a primary care designation. In any case, to be able to apply for this designation and as an exception, I have to obtain a letter of recommendation from officials to the governor, and the governor then has to recommend to the primary care office to apply for that designation. Seems like a lot of hoops to jump over, but the funding is pretty significant if we can get some of these opportunities. And, you know, just to give you an example, we have a physician that's very interested in coming to Petersburg Medical Center from another area, and they have a federal loan or repayment program. If Petersburg Medical Center does not have that, then they are disqualified from coming for that loan or repayment program. So it might seem benign, but it's a pretty significant thing for a small facility, and that's the reason for the request in front of you.
Okay, so you're asking us to write a letter then to the governor's office to requesting that we meet this criteria?
Yes.
Can you draft something up, Debbie, to have at the next meeting?
It's in the packet already.
So. Oh, it is. Oh,
yeah.
That's the next.
Oh, yeah. There's a letter I drafted, and then there's a.
Oh, that's okay.
There's a recommendation.
So I would entertain a motion to forward this letter to Governor Walker, even though he won't be governor after tomorrow.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Stanton Greger, seconded by Member Lynn. So we're just voting on approval to send this letter. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Bill, thank you. At the work session we had the other day, my main question for you is how, you know, we're all in agreement we need to work towards different things to help you guys with the medical center hospital, but you know, wanting to know specifically how we can do that. These are things that we can do, so when you stumble across them or think of them, bring them here, because this is a no-brainer, obviously.
every little bit helps in trying to build this community hospital. So thank you for bringing this here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Does the Assembly have any objection to us involving Ray Matuszewski on this as well from a follow-up perspective?
No, it would probably be good to send it to our lobbyists. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, all those in favor of sending the letter, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Aye. Thank you, Brandy. We will send the letter to the governor's office, whoever they met, that may be. Next item on the agenda is Open Meetings Act training. I see there was no attachment, so I remember the last time we discussed this, the clerk was going to suggested we bring our borough attorney down, Sarah Heidemann, to do this. I had a different idea, but I'd entertain a motion to approve this training. Is that what we're trying to do, Debbie? Just a picking a time to try to do it?
Yes. We budgeted for it. We talked about wanting to do it after the election. So here we are after the election. I'm just bringing it forward to you guys to see if you still want to do it and when we should do it and who should be doing the training.
I think the budgeted amount was in the $4,000 or $5,000 range.
$5,800.
$5,800?
Mm-hmm.
So I know, but we better get a motion on the floor. Entertain a motion to spend the money that we fund and put in the budget for having someone come and give us Open Meetings Training Act here in Petersburg.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, who made the motion?
I did.
Member Bucci, yes. Seconded by Member Lynn. Okay, any discussion?
I have a problem with the dollar.
Okay, Brandy, and then.
I am not opposed to having some training, but for one, I think that we need to bring someone in that's non-biased. I think that part of the issue has been Ms. Heidemann has wavered on her her interpretation of the Open Meetings Act. So it would be nice to have someone that's not financially affiliated. I also don't think it's necessary to bring somebody in. I think that we're part of the Alaska Municipal League. They already have PowerPoints and other things in place. They could Skype in, maybe. I don't know. That's just my 2 cents.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? I kind of felt the same way when we talked about this before. There's a gentleman that's an attorney that gives this training at Alaska Municipal League, Michael Gotti. And I called him up and asked him if he travels and does this kind of stuff. And he says he does. And if the price was roughly right around $5,800, which is a lot of money. But I was wondering if before we pulled the trigger on this and decided to do it, if we could reach out to Wrangell and maybe Cake and see if they could, if they wanted to come over, and if we did have someone actually physically come to town, and if we did, whoever we decide to bring in, maybe that would lessen our expense. So
sure.
I don't know. That's just my 2 cents. I don't know how we want to move forward with this.
I also thought, of course, we should invite all of our other boards and commissions as well to attend.
Mm-hmm. Hospital boards and school boards and yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Member Stanton Gregor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I mean, obviously, I'll be on board for whatever the Assembly decides, but when we talked about this however many months back it was, my stance is still the same. I don't think we should spend money on that. I think it's every member's individual responsibility to learn about the open meetings rules. They're pretty clear and pretty straightforward. You can hop online right now and find a book that lines out what you can and cannot do. Really clear. I don't see it as a great thing in the least. So I can't vote for this right now. I think it's my responsibility to make sure I'm not breaking the law. So I'll be voting no in general on this.
Any other discussion? And refresh my memory. It's been a lot of items on the agenda today. Was there a motion to approve spending the money to bring someone here,
You mean what we're talking about right now or in the budget?
Yes, right now. I remember the budget.
Yes, there was a motion, yes, to I guess, to, I don't know what was the motion that was made.
Who was the maker of the motion? I know you have
it
that
right. It was Jeff.
It was me. The intent of the motion was to have an Open Meeting Act training here and bringing Sarah Heidemann here to conduct the conduct the training for the assembly members and our boards and commissions.
Okay, so did you pick up on that, Brandy? That was the intent of the motion by Member Mucci was to have training in Petersburg and have our attorney provide the training. So,
yep, I got it.
Okay, all right. Now I've got it. So, Member Lynn, do you have a
question? Well, just a question. Since I wasn't here for the original discussion, what was the background of
just some of the assembly members haven't, you know, and like Member Stanton Gregor said, you could go online and find the documents and read them, and you know, it's pretty cut and dried, but to have someone that works in this and deals with the open meetings come and give the training, and that's why I suggested Michael Gotti, because he's been giving the training for the 10 years I've been on the council/assembly, and so he's familiar with it, but then the motion right now is to bring Sarah Heidemann down. Member Stanton-Gregor?
Follow-up, Member Lynn. To clarify, you're asking the background of why this topic is on the agenda?
Yes, yes.
Because Member Morrell had felt there were some open meetings violations in terms of emails being sent in the borough. Now, I forgot how many months ago that was that Brandy brought that up in a meeting, and the conversation spawned from that.
Good.
Just for historical context for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Also, Mayor Jensen, I just wanted to let everyone know, if they aren't already aware, that new member Norheim will be attending the Open Meetings Act training this month.
Right.
At AML.
Next week.
Yes.
So anyway, the motion is to have our attorney come and give us Open Meetings Act training. So, and then if there's no other discussion, will the clerk call a roll?
Kurt?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
Mark?
No.
Brandy?
No.
Jay?
No. Okay, it fails with a 5-1 vote. So we still have that money budgeted, but I'm sure it can be used for something else or just carried over. Communications. We have a few communications here today. I don't think I will read the letter from Secretary of, or the letter to Secretary Pompeo, but it is actually from Lisa Murkowski, Dan Sullivan, Don Young, Bill Walker, and Byron Malott, our congressional delegation back in Washington, D.C., and our governor and former lieutenant governor. And what it does is just ask, it's asking them to move forward with discussions with Canada on the transboundary river issues. And I think this letter is available obviously on the agenda, so if people want to read it. That is one communication that I just wanted people to see. There's a thank you letter from the governor's office. Trey Atkinson, the CEO from SEPA, has been appointed to the governor's committee, if they carry it through in the next governorship, to look at a roadless rule exemption, a specific state-specific one. He is on that committee. And then there's a letter from our lobbyist we got the other day that I thought was a little bit interesting, because last year when we were back in D.C., we talked to him, and I've talked to Senator Sullivan about it, and I'm not sure if the Assembly has addressed this at the Assembly level, but it was a regulation that would the existing EPA rule imposing Clean Water Act discharge rules on fishing, fish processing, and fish tender vessels in the normal course of operations would be permanently terminated with this new legislation in D.C., and we have been pursuing a final fix on these rules for over a decade. But what they're doing now is potentially the fishing industry will be exposed to ballast water discharge regulations. The extent of the regulations and their severity are unclear at this time. The regulatory process is likely to last 2 or more years. The definition of ballast is fairly broad. It could cover both refrigerated seawater and ice used in fishing holds. So it might limit you to
discharging those waters, they might need to be treated to a certain level. So one problem appears to be fixed, another problem replaces it. We will let you know how the vote goes and keep you informed going forward. I've copied the mayor because he had expressed an interest in this fate of the EPA rule to me directly last time he was in D.C., which was last December or January. So anyway, I just would like to ask our, and he is keeping an eye on it and keeping us informed, so I thought it could affect our industry, our fishing industry in town. One other letter that we all received, I believe, you sent this to the entire assembly, is just a letter from Petro Incorporated about the proposed land swap we're talking about. And the last paragraph in this letter, they would owe them some money, but they would forgive that payment to them. And if the money went towards a dolphin, if I understand the swap right, but if after 30 months from closing the land exchange, the birthing dolphin project has not achieved full funding, Petro would request that the net proceeds be applied to its remaining lease payments, parcel one, parcel C and D upland easement, parcel C and D submerged easement with the borough until exhausted. So that's just a letter I thought we should all be aware of. Assembly discussion items is the next item on the agenda, and there, 17A is recognitions. Is there any recognitions by assembly or staff?
Yep.
Member Lynn.
Yeah, I'd like to. Last week, Assembly Member Norheim and I took a tour of the harbor, particularly the maintenance parts of it, and with Ben Hine. And I have to tell you that. First of all, I thank Ben for all his time with us. But I was pretty well impressed with everything that I saw out there in his facilities, where everything was clean, everything was put in a place. It was well kept, and I really appreciated, you know, the enthusiasm that he has for what he's doing, and I just want to compliment him and the crew for all the maintenance. It really is well kept.
Good. Thank you. Any other recognitions, Member Walter?
Yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to the police department for their Halloween night there. I heard from my kids that they were out and about on the streets, even, you know, mingling with the public and giving out glow sticks and things like that. And I think that's a great idea, instead of about arresting people in, you know, in public. So I think it's great.
I'd also like to recognize Captain Randy Holmgren. He's the new captain for the police department. I'd also like to recognize Guy Lynn Etcher for putting on the haunted house and all the volunteers that participated. There's no way any of us could have put on the haunted house without that group of people. I mean, they worked really hard putting it all together, and we were able to get it taken down with no damage to the facility or anything like that. And I'd also like to recognize all the officers that were out and about that night and their friends and family that showed up to help participate and hand out the glow sticks, and just, it was a great time. My kids actually want to do that again next year instead of going trick-or-treating. So
nice. Is there any other recognitions by staff or assembly? Okay, that moves us to the next discussion item, and I asked to put this on the agenda just because I was in the manager's office and we were having a conversation, and he showed me this proposal by Air Medcare Network Municipal Site Membership. And what that is it would cover everybody in Petersburg for Medevac insurance, but it comes with a fee of $14,400. So I thought we'd just put it on the agenda just to have a discussion about it, and thought maybe in the future if we were going to invite people from this organization, but I see they're in the audience, so I guess since they're here, if anybody wants to ask them any questions, I don't feel it would be inappropriate. Any questions of the people offering this service?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, are they prepared to do a small presentation at this point so the public can hear about it?
I have
no idea. Just ask questions, so I mean, what sort of services? I think I heard a little blurb on the radio there that you have to have health insurance before this will even apply to you. So, I mean, what would that do to the citizens in town that don't have, you know, health insurance? Would they be able to be flown out on this, or what would the cost be for that? So,
yes, you can please. Answer the question.
That'd be great.
I don't know if we want a full presentation. No, yeah. It could be at another meeting, but
yeah.
Well, I thought so. My name is Riley Little. I'm representing Guardian Flight. To answer your question, Assembly Member, we do not require insurance. We're the only provider in the state of Alaska that does not require insurance to be a member. The way that our particular municipal site plan is written for Petersburg, the person who would be 100% uninsured without even, say, workman's comp or auto insurance or something like that, which would be applicable, would be billed at the Medicare allowable rate, which is substantially discounted from the private party single payer rate. However, for $65 a month, they could enroll in the full membership and get that full balance billing coverage.
So with this this $14,000 or some odd dollars, is that I'm really slow at this. Would they be covered under that policy?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, Member Lynn?
I happen to be a member of yours, and I know quite other people in the area already are. But down in the fine print, it says that it does not cover Medicaid employees or Medicaid enrollees. Would that be the case here? So that if in the borough, if you have Medicaid people, would your policy cover those people?
So that's kind of a tricky spot because they don't need coverage. If someone is covered 100% Medicaid, we're going to bill Medicaid that same rate whether or not they have a membership. So say if this person is 100% Medicaid and they come to me and they want to spend $125 on a membership, I have to legally tell them no. Don't waste your money on this membership because you're wasting your money.
And so, and I also saw in your thing where you said $65 a difference. So you're, what would the additional $65 from each of the families in town buy them?
So the base rate with the $14,355 will cover any flights out of the borough of Petersburg. And then if they go to Anchorage and have to get flown farther, that'll still be covered. But so with the coverage, it's kind of a condensed exposure for us of flights leaving the borough, then individual families can go ahead and cover with the full network coverage for that $65. That'll get them the full balance billing coverage, as well as coverage in 38 states, including Hawaii, from 300 and some other bases that are our sister companies.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, I'm sorry for falling in there. Okay, so what if... How do we, I guess we have some liability questions here we need to talk about later, but when you come back in and it's somebody calls for it, it would have to be, the contract would be a full resident of the Petersburg borough, no matter where they lived in the borough.
Yes, sir.
So that if we had a visitor, that wouldn't be covered, but you may not know that. Or
visitor?
Let's say that you had somebody off a cruise ship, what I was thinking of, and they weren't covered. Yeah. You know, they were happened to be here, but they needed to be medevaced out.
We wouldn't work that into the price of the overall coverage because that would drive the price up to cover those visitors. So the price is just covering the residents. The people that from the 2010 census, that number is what we go off of. And so essentially people who are receiving mail here will be covered.
So maybe at this point it'd be... The borough manager should research this a little bit. I mean, have you looked into it, Steve? What's your opinion on it? Is it worth it for the borough? I mean,
if I may.
Yeah.
Proposal, listened to them when they came to town, and it was intriguing enough to, you know, tell them back that, you know, clearly this is a budgetary issue for us and that, you know, it'd be best left for when the assembly, we had a full assembly here to talk about it. So that's kind of where we left it. I mean, the big question, and this was one of the things I was similar to the assembly, is trying to find out some more information, such as, you know, using Bob's example, Bob is already a Guardian Flight member. So if the borough did this, should Bob keep his Guardian Flight membership or drop it?
He could go ahead and then pay that $65 a year personally if he wanted the full network coverage. But if you were only seeking coverage from the borough, say you don't travel much, then you wouldn't need to pay anything out of pocket at all.
So that's the piece that I thought that was the case. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure. So if the borough went forward with it, we'd be paying $65 per person, and they would have coverage here if they needed AirVac.
If I may.
Sure, please.
Yeah. The household rate is actually $12.50 a household, is what adds up to that $14,000.
Oh, thank you. So, and then if I wanted to add on the national coverage, I'd pay personally another $65, but that would be my individual decision.
Yes, sir. And that $65 would cover all the individuals under that roof within all of our network. The current record is in Kentucky, there are 26 individuals covered with that. It's the coal territory.
So, I mean, it's clearly an intriguing thing to do, but it's a budgetary thing, right? And I can't, especially right now. That's why I suggested you guys need to talk about it. You have to set, back to the budgetary thing, you have to set the priorities and tell us what you want to fund and what you want
to do. It's intriguing, but there's a cost associated with it.
And Mr. Mayor and Assemblyman, I would be more than willing to come back and do a presentation or answer more questions at any point in time. I am the Southeast Region Marketing Director, so any time that there be questions, I'd be more than willing to come down.
Okay, and do you have the gentleman's contact info?
Yes, I do.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you all for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, next item under some of the discussion items is C, in a solid waste recycling work session. Member Mucci put this on, asked for this to be on agenda.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just, I'm hoping to have a work session sometime in either early December or late November, just to kind of go over where we're headed with the solid waste program, the recycling program, composting program. Right now we've got Public Works is doing composting. We've got PIA is doing some composting. And I think there's some interest in the community to start a small composting business in town. And with the issues we're having with the baler, I think it'd be interesting to see where we're headed with this. If there's things that we can do to remove and reduce some of the recyclables out of the waste stream and make sure the community understands what they can and cannot recycle, I'm hoping that maybe we can get the city clerk to send out a note to see who's available in the next several weeks, if not to the middle of December, to just an hour and a half, one night, early in the week, on a meeting, a night that we're not meeting.
Okay, sure, I can do that.
Thank you. Any new discussion items? We'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.